Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. The
stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
All right, I am not going to spend a lot of time on O.J. Simpson, but I do want you to understand that O.J. Simpson dying is actually a very important moment to talk about this country, talk about history, and to explain especially to young people what happened with the O.J. Simpson trial. O.J. Simpson's passed away. O.J. Simpson, I believe, was an individual that was a murderer. I believe that he killed two people, cold-blooded murder. I believe that O.J. Simpson is a horrible human being, and I believe that O.J. Simpson was an abusive individual based on everything that we know about him, and I'm apparently not the only one that believes that. But when he was in trial, when the O.J. Simpson trial happened, after the Ford, white Ford Bronco chase and everything else, there was one thing that was on the minds of the people that were there on that jury. How do we know this? Because the people on that jury have spoken since he was acquitted, when he was found not guilty. And what do they say? They say it was real simple. We saw what happened to Rodney King. And we saw what happened in the riots, the LA riots, after the beating of Rodney King, which was also a horrific moment in American history. And what the jurors said, and this is what is important that we remember, is the jury said, we weren't deciding if O.J. Simpson was guilty or not guilty. We were deciding how we were going to respond to what happened with Rodney King, and this was payback for Rodney King. Now, again, this comes from a documentary, a reporter who was asking one of the jurors on the O.J. Simpson trial, and I want you to listen to this carefully.
Do you think that they're members of the jury that voted to acquit O.J. because of Rodney King?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
How many of you think felt that way?
Oh, probably 90% of us.
90%? Did you feel that way?
Yes.
That was payback.
Uh-huh.
You think that's right?
She puts her hands up in the air. And basically does the I don't know face and puts her hands back down. How many have you think felt that way? Referring to the jurors. Oh, probably 90% of them. 90%? Did you feel that way? Yes. Was that payback? She puts her hands up. Uh-huh. Now, I remind you of the history of that to then go to what the problem is and why this is an important issue now. And it concerns me because we have lost our way with our justice system in this country. Right now, there's a lot of things that have come out of that type of mentality about it's time for revenge or it's time to get even or it's payback, right, for things that happened in the past. And now we have bail reform and we have prison reform. Now, what is bail reform and what is prison reform? It's a fundamental basic statement that has been indoctrinated in young people in high school and in colleges for the last, really, I would say, hardcore 10 years, the last decade, which is this. Our justice system should not lock up African-American men who commit heinous crimes because there's too many African-American men, we believe, in jail, and there needs to be some sort of reparations for what happened in the past in this country, very much like you just heard from that juror in O.J. Simpson. We also have been indoctrinated really over the last decade, and this has become pretty public now because we're seeing the disaster of this social idea, right? This social program, which is if you don't have money, you shouldn't be in jail just because you don't have money. And the argument was, well, African-Americans don't have as much money as other races, white people, a.k.a. So therefore, it's unfair that a white guy can get out of jail because he has more money and a black person stays in jail because he can't make bond. And so what we're going to do is we're going to reform the system with jail reform, prison reform. Right. This goes back to Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter. It was not really about any one person. It was about finding a moment, a flashpoint, whether it was George Floyd or whatever was next, to then demand that we have bail reform and prison reform. Now, prison reform is also very simple. The argument is there's too many African-American men in prison, regardless of the crimes they have committed, and therefore we should let people out of prison and we shouldn't put more African-American men in prison because the system is racist. And we've decided the system's racist. You can't debate the system. And so therefore, let every African-American man out of jail that we can to basically get revenge. It's no different to get even for what happened. Same thing that we heard with OJ. And then you look at bail reform. Well, what is bail reform? It's a way to make also defund the police a reality. When cities didn't actually, and they weren't able to defund the police. Remember when Minneapolis, St. Paul area, they were going to defund the police. It never actually happened because crime was so out of control. They were like, all right, we can't actually like fire all the cops. But what you can do is you can drive them insane. Well, they'll all quit on you, right? It was politically too much for them to chew. The people that wanted to get rid of police officers. And so the best way to actually get rid of police officers is drive them to total insanity and madness. How do you do that? You tell a good human being, a police officer, and I believe the majority of police officers overwhelming are incredible human beings. There are bad cops, yes. There are bad priests. There are bad pastors. There are bad doctors. There's bad people in every profession, but the majority of police officers are good human beings. And what you do is you tell that police officer, hey, go ahead, I dare you. Go out there and arrest this person that just committed this crime. And we're going to let them walk before you finish the paperwork. Go ahead, do it. Risk your life to lock up somebody and watch how fast we put them right back out on the streets without giving them any bail. That's how you defund the police, folks, because then police stop risking their lives. Because what's the point of risking your life if you know that when you risk your life, that the person that you just caught and the person you just put in jail is basically laughing in your face like, dude, I'm not going to jail. Like, I got a mugshot, maybe. You might have got a fingerprint, maybe. I'm free. I'm a free man. I'm going to give you those details in a moment, but I want to tell you about our friends over at Patriot Mobile. If I told you that you were giving money right now to Planned Parenthood, how mad would you be, especially if you didn't know you were doing it? If I told you that you were giving money to Democratic candidates, causes, and organizations, how mad would you be right now, especially if you didn't know you were doing it? Well, that's exactly what is happening when you are with Big Mobile. You may not understand where your money's going, and now you do because I've just told you. They give massive donations to Planned Parenthood and hardcore leftist organizations. They give massive donations to those that are fighting against your First and your Second Amendment rights. And that is exactly why I want you to switch to Patriot Mobile. Now, look, I've done it. I just went down to the Hill Country to watch the eclipse, and I can tell you my coverage was perfect in areas where it would have been spotty. Now, that's the number one reason why people are afraid to switch. They're worried about coverage. You don't have to with Patriot Mobile. You get the same exact coverage that you're used to. Why? Because they use the same exact towers. And that's all you really care about when it comes to service and coverage. And that is why you should call Patriot Mobile. Now, I'm also going to give you free activation. And I'm going to tell you about what happens when you pay your bill. When you pay your bill to Patriot Mobile, you're giving back to support conservative causes, candidates, organizations, including fighting to protect the rights of unborn children. Every time you make a phone call, every single time you pay your bill, you're making a difference. So check out Patriot Mobile. Go to patriotmobile.com/Ben. That's patriotmobile.com/Ben. patriotmobile.com/Ben. Or you can call them 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. 972-PATRIOT. Or patriotmobile.com/Ben. This is all about reparations at the end of the day. And so there's a moment here that's bigger than O.J. Simpson. And O.J. Simpson is dead. He's died. All right? But let me tell you what the left is now saying. And this is what they're teaching kids. There's a guy who I know well. We've done TV together for decades. We've had vigorous debates. His name is Mark Lamont Hill. And Mark Lamont Hill said something on Twitter today. And it's important that you hear what he actually said, because I want you to understand the mindset of people that disagree with me and disagree with me on issues about prison and issues about right and wrong and issues of protecting and defending and issues of police. A CUNY professor and race commentator, Mark Lamont Hill, weighed in on the death of the troubled NFL star O.J. Simpson. And this is what Hill said on Twitter or on X. O.J. Simpson was an abusive liar, I agree with Mark Lamont Hill on that, who abandoned his community long before he killed two people in cold blood. I agree with that. His acquittal for murder was the correct and necessary result of a racist criminal legal system. But he's still a monster, not a martyr. So let's just break that down. You're admitting that he was an abusive killer that deserved to go to jail, but more than that, you believe he deserved to get off because of systemic racism, and therefore it was correct and necessary to let O.J. Simpson live a life of freedom after brutally hacking to death and murdering his ex-wife and her boyfriend/friend at the time. And you're saying it. Now, you're saying he's an abusive liar. This is the problem that we have now in this country. There is no longer right and wrong if you're on the left. And this is, and I would say this, by the way, I want you to not be angry at what Mark Lamont Hill is saying. I want you to listen to what he's saying, because I want you to understand how far gone we are in this country when it comes to the basic issue of right and wrong. He is justifying the abuse, the abusive liar, the abandonment of his community. And he said he did that long before he killed two people in cold blood. But then he justifies it, saying basically because of the sins of people in the past in America, because of slave owners, O.J. Simpson deserves to walk among us for decades after brutally killing the mother of his children, because it's righting the wrongs of the past in American history and a necessary, quote, result of a racist criminal legal system. You understand this conversation we're having right now is really not about O.J. Simpson. This conversation right now is about people that are today basically saying, you know what, I'm glad O.J. Simpson didn't go to prison for killing those two people, the mother of his children, because we need to somehow right the wrongs of a time in America where none of us were a part of it, none of us experienced it, and because there were people in America's history that are racist, therefore we should have anarchy, chaos among us at the hands of minorities to basically get even for things that happened in the past. This is bail reform, folks. This is prison reform. This is what the left has brought into America and normalized. They are now normalizing, decades later, the cold-blooded murder of the mother of O.J. Simpson's children, saying, but it was a necessary evil for us to let him go to get revenge for racism in the past and to get revenge for another horrific moment, the Rodney King beating, And we're going to get revenge for that by saying, all right, well, this is payback. This is payback. Listen to the juror again.
Do you think that there are members of the jury that voted to acquit OJ because of Rodney King?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
How many of you think felt that way?
Oh, probably 90% of them.
90%? Did you feel that way?
Yes.
Did you feel that way? Yes. Even on CNN today, I'm going to play this for you coming up in a moment. They said the same thing. And why is it that the media is saying this, basically? Well, hey, look, this is a moment for everybody to remember. Look, if you're African-American, you go out there and you kill somebody, we kind of think and believe that you should maybe be able to get off for this because of the wrongs of the past in this country. Hey, if you're a police officer and you go out there and risk your life to lock up somebody that killed somebody, hey, maybe we should just let that person go and make you go crazy so we have lawlessness in our communities. I go back to the core thing about Black Lives Matter. The majority of African-American men in this country that are killed by African-American men. How is that protecting Black lives? If Black Lives Matter, why are you letting killers out in the name of reparations for something that happened in the past and has nothing to do with the present? And why are we letting out people from jail and prison? Now, this also goes back, I want to connect this to one other issue, and we're going to talk about this, the border. You understand this lawlessness, once you have lawlessness, it explodes in all areas of this country. We went from bail reform and prison reform to now wide open borders. Why? Because the Democratic Party, once you say we don't believe in right and wrong, and we don't believe in law and order, and we don't believe in good and bad, then the wheels come off the bus, and it costs people their lives. The same people you claim you want to protect, the same people that you say you want to protect, the African-American young kids who are getting killed in this country, the young African-American men that are being murdered at outrageous rates right now. When you go on this world of insanity, this is what you get.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carla Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to get back to what I was about to say about CNN a second ago, and this idea that, like, O.J. Simpson dies, And it's like, yeah, we all know he's a murderer, but it was payback for Rodney King and reparations and slavery and other black men that had been locked up. So we let a killer walk among us to basically get revenge, get even for either directly Rodney King or indirectly for all the other injustices in America. And this is what is being taught to America's youth. Now, when I say youth, I'm talking now 25 and under have been indoctrinated into this idea that America is evil, that America's judicial system is racist and evil, and that America's evil past with slavery is something that must be fixed through letting other people not be held accountable for their actions, including now murder. CNN's Stephanie Elam reporting live, right, on the O.J. Simpson death, accidentally said the quiet part out loud. Listen to this carefully, how she describes his death.
And it's also just worth noting how much was impacted by this trial, Jake. So many things happened. We saw policing changing here in the city. And it's also worth noting, because of that unrest, that racial unrest in the 90s, that is why so many people who may not have been invested in O.J. Simpson were just happy to see that someone who was rich and famous and black could get away with what other people did in the system as well, too.
Whoa, hold on there. All right, notice Jake Tapper ain't going to fight back on that, right? Right? Let me read you the transcript of that, because she just said it, and then she's like, oh, wait, I'm not sure I'm supposed to say this out loud. Whoops, hold on. Quote, so many people were just happy to see that someone who is rich and famous and black could get away with or what other people did in the system as well, too. She's saying it. There were people that were like, come on, we want a black man to be able to get away with murdering who's rich and famous, and we're rooting for this, right? Like that's what we're doing here. And we're all admitting it. So we're proud of the idea that back in the 90s, we got O.J. off.
That is why so many people who may not have been invested in O.J. Simpson were just happy to see that someone who was rich and famous and black could get away with it.
Could get away with it? Yeah, that's exactly what they're saying. This idea that America is an evil country, and this idea that people now who didn't experience slavery deserve to get a payday in the trillions of dollars. I mean, I've seen these numbers. It is destroying and rotting this country. The idea that we should allow killers and rapists and gangbangers and drug dealers off because of something that they didn't experience that happened in the past. By the way, every country in the world have past and parts of their past that they're not proud of. You know what I'm proud of as an American? Like, and every American should be proud of this. Like, we have righted some of the wrongs in a very big way in this country. That makes me proud that we're an imperfect union trying to do better than we did before. But that's like stopped over the last 10 years. The people that we're electing to office now are not about making this country a better country. The people that we're electing in this country, many of them are just about their own power and their own obsession with power. You know, you want to talk about, I think, the most damaging part of letting OJ off is that then moving forward, there was like, all right, well, he's the first. So who's going to be the second? I go back to Mark Lamont Hill. And this really goes back to what happened with Black Lives Matter and police reform and bail reform and defunding the police and everything else. OJ, again, I go back to this tweet from Mark Lamont Hill, who's a college professor who's got the minds and the hearts of people and has owned them, especially in the African-American community, for decades. He is a leader in the Democratic Party. He's a leader in the progressive radical left movement. And he is someone that many African-Americans look up to. And he says it today on Twitter. O.J. Simpson was an abusive liar who abandoned his community long before he killed two people in cold blood. So he is saying, I know that O.J. Simpson was a bad, evil man that is a murderer. And he's willing to state it. And then here comes the however. His acquittal for murder was the correct and necessary result of a racist criminal legal system. Okay. And then he says, but He's still a monster, not a martyr. Okay, so where do you draw the line now is the question that I would ask Marco Bonhill if he was here now. How many murderers do we let off? How many rapists do we let off? Like, give me a number here for reparations because of the evils of America's past that O.J. Simpson certainly didn't experience. Like, O.J. Simpson led one hell of a life, folks. He was rich. He was not just kind of famous. He was insanely famous. He was the Michael Jordan of football. The world stopped to watch him in a Ford Bronco run from the police. Like, this guy was a different level of fame before the internet. I remember when this happened. I remember walking into a Mapco Express gas station, and everybody in the gas station, I went in to pay with cash. This is how young I was. This is how many years ago this was. Because I was putting gas in my mom's car. It was a minivan, a Ford Aerostar. I even remember the car, and I walked in to pay, and I think she gave me $10 for gas. And I went in. It was during a time when gas was under $1 a gallon. That should tell you how long ago this was. And I walked in, and I remember. I remember it was on Summer Avenue in Memphis, Tennessee, and the entire Mapco Express had stopped and was looking at a box TV. You know, the big old box TV. And everybody was just standing there watching O.J. Simpson running from the police on the highway in the back of that Ford Bronco. And there were people in there that were cheering for O.J. Simpson. They were cheering for O.J. Simpson because he was famous. He's this Hall of Famer. He's this famous football player. He's a Heisman. I didn't know who O.J. Simpson was before that moment, but I will never forget when I learned who he was. And there were people that were rooting for him because it was like a moment of like, oh yeah, I'm behind him because he's African American and there's things in the past. And then the narrative started, and now look at where we are. So how many is my question? How many murderers do you want to let out that are African American to right all the wrongs of America's history? And for that matter, how many murders around the world are we going to let out? I mean, if we're going to fix this thing the way that the left wants to fix it, the way the Marxists and the socialists and the communists want to fix it, their definition of righting the wrong is letting out people of a certain skin color only for heinous crimes and saying that this is a necessary result of a racist criminal legal system, which brings me back to Black Lives Matter. That's exactly what the Black Lives Matter movement is. Hey, we know there's people that do bad things, and when they do bad things, we want to look at their skin color, and we want to let enough of them off to get even for the bad things that happen to people that have the same skin color that they didn't know in times in the past. So let's just settle the score for atrocities or events that we never experienced personally, and that is the Democratic Party now. Black Lives Matter was never about Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter was about getting even, right? We're going to burn down cities to get even. We're going to burn down churches. We're going to burn down black-owned businesses. I still don't know how the hell that helped Black Lives Matter. That's the part that I didn't understand. Why would you burn down your own community? We're going to burn down the Wendy's. We're going to, you know, we complain about there being food desert and high crime, high poverty areas, but we'll burn down the grocery store and the Quickie Mart. Right, we'll burn down the places that we do have that have food. I've never understood that. Hey, we need places and businesses that can grow a community, but we're going to burn down the AutoZone or the Advance Auto Parts. We're going to loot African American clothing stores and steal the sneakers, right, in the name of Black Lives Matter. Because what we're saying is it's okay for you to be lawless in your communities to get even for the past. That is exactly what a top African-American professor is telling the African-American community today. It is okay if a percentage of you commit crimes because of something you never were a part of. And then they'll look at you and they'll say, hey, he's a monster because he murdered people, right? But he should have gotten away with it because of racism, right? That's what he's saying, right? You believe that he should be acquitted, and that his acquittal was correct and necessary because of something that you heard or read about in America's history. You lose a country when you have no law and order. You look at Fred Goldman. He lost his son to a jealous, psychotic man in O.J. Simpson. And he lost his son because a system said, well, we had another guy that was beaten who was black, and we don't want more riots, so we're going to let him off. There was fear. There were some people that were afraid. They were like, I'm not convicting O.J. because I don't want another riot. I don't want to be the cause of the riot, so we'll let him go. And then there was others like, well, that's just revenge. So in other words, Fred Goldman, sorry, your son was a sacrificial lamb. Your son's death was necessary to right the wrongs of something that happened in the past, and you're just going to have to deal with it. Someone put it this way. Said, acquittal for murder in cold blood is never correct nor necessary, nor does it in any way atone for past sins committed against members of one's community. It only adds the burden of wrongdoing for all of us. I don't know who wrote that, but amen. Amen. He killed two people, slash his acquittal was correct because we care more about racism than anything else. Social justice will destroy this country. Black Lives Matter and what they stand for will destroy this country. How do I know it? Because we're witnessing it right now. It is destroying this country. Let me go back 3 years ago to play you something. 3 years ago, there was an African-American woman who was in, Mr. Producer, I can't, was it Minneapolis? Where was it where she was? Chicago, that's right. It was in Chicago. This is 3 years ago. And she was talking about what was happening in her community with Black Lives Matter movement. And I want you to hear what she said as an African-American woman in Chicago. Listen.
My point was that black kids in Chicago get killed every single day. Where is the Black Lives Matter in Chicago? Where are they? When black people kill black people, they don't come out and do this crap. The only time they do this crap is when a white person touches them. They are the racist. They are the racist. Because white cops, it's wrong for a white cop to kill a black person, that's for sure. But if it matters, it should matter at all times.
So what are you fighting for? What are you fighting for?
By the way, she's yelling at the Black Lives Matter woke white people who are out there claiming that they're in favor of Black Lives Matter. And this is an African-American woman yelling at all the rich white kids and the white woke parents who are out there like, yeah, Black Lives Matter. Keep listening.
You're not here to fight injustice. You're here to cause drama.
A better message will be stop violence. It's not about blacks.
In a unicorn world. That's not a unicorn
violence,
world.
Period.
Okay, since you're so...
You get it, so blacks are oppressed. I am black. I'm not oppressed.
That's
I am free.
That's good for you. That's an individual person. What about a systemic issue?
Where? I am black. I've always wanted to be. I have a... Like, I do what I want. You have the skills. This is a country where you have the skills. You want to do what you want. You do it. Okay. Stop forcing on people to accept that they're oppressed. They are not. I am not oppressed. I am black.
That's
stop making people accept that they're oppressed. You're forcing a rhetoric into your mind, which is not true. That's my point.
Okay.
Violence is wrong, period. It's not about blacks.
Of course.
You agree that whites kill whites too, right?
Of course.
Have you seen any white person coming out and saying white life matter or white thing? No,
they
violence
do.
Is wrong.
They literally do all the time. Every time there's a Black
violence,
Lives Matter protest,
a
white
it's
person.
Not a black problem. It's a violence problem. The blacks kill blacks in black neighborhoods every single day. I've never seen a Black Lives Matter in those neighborhoods. Never! Never! You know what they say? When a black person kill a black in a black neighborhood, they come out and they say, when the police comes, do you know what they tell the police? Snitches get stitches.
I know that.
Snitches get stitches. That's what she just said. Every day, black Americans are killing black Americans in black neighborhoods, and she says, in those neighborhoods, I don't see anything that says Black Lives Matter. Yet you guys show up here because you've been indoctrinated at the university level by these university professors to believe that we are going to fundamentally change this country because you've been indoctrinated to believe that America is evil and therefore the only way to fix the evil in this country is to let people like O.J. Simpson or other black men who are killing other black men out of jail for heinous crimes against society. And when you have a lawless society, this is what you get. You get lawlessness everywhere, folks. You get lawlessness everywhere. You get lawlessness on the streets. You get lawlessness in the poorest neighborhoods. You get death and destruction of African Americans at record numbers by other African Americans. You get lawlessness. at our southern border. You get lawlessness with people breaking into this country. You get lawlessness with fentanyl and drugs and all of this because there is no longer a moral compass in this nation. And that was their whole plan all along. Their plan all along was to get rid of right and wrong, get rid of moral values, get rid of God, get rid of a belief in a higher power. Everybody becomes their own God. Everybody becomes their own value set. Everybody is offended by everything. You find your own truth, right? That's this liberal woke ideology, and it's destroying this country to the point where we now have the leaders of the African-American community saying on a day when O.J. Simpson dies, well, yeah, he was a murderer. He absolutely was. He was a cold-blooded murderer. However, it was a necessary evil or good, I guess. I don't know, right? To let this evil man go. I want to quote it exactly. This is a professor who's a leader in the African-American community. O.J. Simpson was an abusive liar who abandoned his community long before he killed two people in cold blood. His acquittal for murder was the correct and necessary result of a racist criminal legal system. But he's still a monster, not a martyr. Make sure you share this podcast, please, on social media so that others can hear what's happening. And make sure you hit that subscribe, follow, or auto-download button. And I'll see you back here tomorrow.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.